I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Bucks game is over. And now it's time for the longest running postgame show in Milwaukee. Hear from the players.
This is obviously where I wanted to be, to build upon what we've already done last season.
The head coach.
You know, we want the most talented training camp roster that you can have.
And the fans. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show. Now, here's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Boys come up with the win tonight, 98-90 over the Lonzo Ball-led L.A. Lakers tonight. Good evening, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Jeff Orlowski with you tonight. The Bucks now back to 500 at 6-6, 3-3 now at the BMO Harris Bradley Center. They get the win tonight in front of a sold-out, packed Bradley Center tonight. And those that were at the Bradley Center tonight may want to keep your ticket. And now I realize, well, some of you may have been Lakers fans at the game tonight. I realize most of you weren't Lakers fans, but may still want to keep the ticket. If Lonzo Ball turns out to be anything, I think it might be worth something. He makes NBA history tonight. Youngest player in NBA history to get a triple ball, 19 point, a triple ball, a triple double, 19 points, 13 assists, 12 boards, 3 steals, 3 blocks for Lonzo Ball on 7 of 12 shooting, 3 of 5 from 3-point range. So you may want to keep your ticket if you were at the game for that reason. But a story tonight, obviously, once again, Giannis with 33 points on 12 of 19 shooting, 15 boards, 3 assists, a steal, and a block for Giannis tonight in 40 minutes of action. And this coming after playing heavy minutes last night against the San Antonio Spurs in a win. That really was kind of the question coming into tonight was, how is this team going to react off of second game of a back-to-back where they got a little bit of a later start in San Antonio? The Lakers, meanwhile, were in town here going to one of these places that have escape rooms, and they went and did that last night. Apparently, Brooke Lopez's team won in the team building outing that they had at one of the escape rooms in Milwaukee. So if you saw the Lakers around town, that's what they were doing, I guess. But not good enough in order for the Bucks to come back and still beat them tonight. So Giannis 33-15 had a big night there. But really, the bench play tonight, Brogdon again, 16 points, 3 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals, couple of turnovers, 5 of 11 shooting. Dellavedova 4 of 10 for 10 points. So if you add the points up here, you're talking about 33 points for the Milwaukee Bucks off of their bench. And if you add up the L.A. Lakers, you have 25 for the very first time all season long. The Milwaukee Bucks actually won the bench battle tonight for the first time all season. This is game 12. They were 0-11. Well, actually, 0-10-1, I think. They had one tie in bench scoring in a game earlier this year. This is the first game they actually won bench scoring of this season. So they win bench scoring tonight. And that is going to be an important thing for this team going forward. You know, Eric Bledsoe comes back tonight, doesn't have as good of a night as he had last night. 5 turnovers, 4 of 13 shooting, 0 of 6 from 3-point range, 11 points. Only 2 assists, 2 boards, a steal, and a block. Not good. Now, let me run to his defense quickly. The defense is he's probably out of a little bit out of basketball shape, and this is the second night of a back-to-back. So from that perspective, legs may be gone a little bit. That might be explained why Bledsoe struggled a little bit tonight. I wouldn't freak out about it. Just might be that, just a conditioning thing. Middleton, on the other hand, goodness gracious. I mean, they need Chris Middleton to boards, 4 assists, couple of steals. They really need more out of Chris Middleton than they've been getting. Yesterday, he scored his 20 points or whatever, but they need Middleton. And if you look at the game log, which I'm going to look at right now here as we call it up, again, Bucks get the win tonight over the Los Angeles Lakers, 98-90. So tonight, 3 of 13 for 13 points. Actually, I was 20 points was two games ago. Last night in San Antonio, 6 of 14 for 13 points. Then Cleveland in that loss, he was 8 of 17 for 20 points and 11 assists. That was a good game. The night before that, 7 of 17 against the Pistons for 16 points. And then, of course, he had the 43-point game going back to November 1st, shooting 43% from the field over the last five games, 42% so far this year, only 25% from three so far this year. He's a career 39% shooter. So that obviously is going to get better. And his points per game, again, he's averaging 18.5 points per game right now, which is good. And that's helped out by that 43-point game. But I just, as somebody that watches all these games, they need more from him. They really do. Bucks get the win tonight, 98-90 over the Los Angeles Lakers. Back to 500 again. Memphis next up on Monday night for your Milwaukee Bucks. And wanted to do something, something positive, I guess, would be the best way to put it. Sold out crowd leaving the Bradley Center tonight. Everybody walking to their cars after having paid probably $20 or $25 to park. And shaking your head, can't believe you paid that much to park. I shake my head every time as well. I try to park as far away as possible and then walk so I don't have to pay $20 or $25 for parking. What's your favorite part about Bucks basketball this year? What's been your favorite part of the Bucks this year so far, 12 games in? 414-799-1250. Bucks over the Lakers. I know the obvious answer is going to be Giannis, but there's more to this team than Giannis this year and more to the Bucks season than just Giannis. I can't wait to hear what everybody has to say. That's coming up next. Of course, I want to hear from you if you're leaving the Bradley Center. Get your thoughts on the game tonight and maybe what your thought of Lonzo Ball as well, your first time seeing him in action. 98-90, Jeff Orlowski has the details.
How did tonight's game add up? Let's go inside the box score. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video, home entertainment and commercial audio video. Simply done right. ABCAudioVideo.com. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show.
All right, Bucks get the win tonight over the Los Angeles Lakers, 98-90. Now 500 on the season are your Milwaukee Bucks at 6-6, 3-3 now at the BMO Harris Bradley Center as we go inside the box. John Henson, 26 minutes, 4 of 10 from the floor, 0 of 1 from three-point range, 8 points, 7 boards, an assist, a block shot, and 1 turnover. Giannis, 40 minutes played, 12 of 19 from the floor, 0 of 1 from 3, 9 of 11 from the line, 33 points, 15 boards, 3 assists, a steal, a block, and 3 turnovers. It really is getting to be standard for him to get 30 points, right? Chris Middleton, 38 minutes played, 3 of 13 from the floor, 1 of 3 from 3-point range, 6 of 6 from the free throw line, 13 points, 4 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals, not a single turnover in 38 minutes. Eric Bledsoe, game number 2 in a Bucks uniform, 31 minutes, 4 of 13 from the floor, 0 of 6 from 3-point range, 3 of 4 from the free throw line. He had 11 points, 2 boards, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, and 5 turnovers. Tony Snell, only 19 minutes, 0 of 3 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3-point range. He had 1 rebound and was held scoreless. Off the bench, 33 minutes for Malcolm Brogdon, 5 of 11 from the floor, 2 of 4 from 3-point range, 4 of 4 from the line, 16 points, 3 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals, and a couple of turnovers. Matthew Dellavedova, 15 minutes, 4 of 10 from the floor, 2 of 4 from 3-point range, 10 points, 4 boards, 3 assists, 1 steal. Liggins, 2 of 4, 1 of 1 from 3-point range, 5 points, 1 board, 2 steals for him. Thon Maker, 22 minutes, 1 of 3 from the floor, 0 of 1 from 3-point range, 0 of 1 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 2 points, a steal, and a block shot for Thon Maker. Shooting percentages, the Bucks shoot just 40% from the field, 40.7 to be exact. The Lakers, 41.9. 3-point shooting, 6 of 23 from the Bucks. The Lakers, equally pathetic, 6 of 22. From the free throw line, they're playing the L.A. Lakers. Not the Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal L.A. Lakers. The Lonzo Ball-led Lakers. They had 37 free throw attempts.
37. Now, thankfully, they didn't hit most of them, but they had 37 free throw attempts. They hit 22 for 59.5% from the charity stripe. The Bucks were 22 of 26, 11 more free throw attempts for the Lakers. Okay. 49 rebounds for the Lakers. The Bucks only with 42 turnovers, 11 for the Bucks. The Bucks forced 21 from the Lakers after forcing 18 from the Spurs last night as their defense continues to improve here over the last two games, continue to get better. But again, you know, guys missing three-point shots helps your defense as well. But still, nonetheless, two nights in a row now where you've held your opponent under 100 points, still a good thing if you're a Bucks fan. 98-90, Bucks get the win. 6-6, 3-3 at the BMO Harris Bradley Center. Next up is Memphis coming up on Monday night as the Bucks look to get back over 500. A real nice, simple, easy question. Obviously, if you're leaving the Bradley Center, I want to get your thoughts on what you saw tonight from the Bucks. The crowd seemed like they were into it most of the night at the BMO Harris Bradley Center, a packed house, so that was good. On a Veterans Day on top of that, happy Veterans Day to everybody. I know Orlovsky had mentioned it in his sports flash. I didn't get to it in the first segment, but definitely a happy Veterans Day to everybody here from the fan, and thank you for all the service that you've put in to defend our country and of the sort. My dad was in the military. My fiance's dad, he was in the military, so there's military all throughout our family, so I totally get it and appreciate it. Bucks get the Lakers 98-90, and the question tonight is, what's been your favorite thing about watching the Bucks this year? What's your favorite thing? Nice and simple. You can also talk about the game. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7FM. The Fan, where are we going to first, Jeff?
Let's go to Dennis in Kenosha.
What's up, Dennis?
Hey, how's it going, Spark?
Good.
I would have to say my favorite thing thus far, enjoying Giannis, clearly, and that goes without saying.
Right.
It actually has to do with all the comings and goings of the franchise in general, because I do have this sense of feeling that we belong to be in the top four or five in the East.
For sure.
That early move to get Bledsoe, it didn't, in years past, would have felt like a huge panic move or what have you, but I really do feel like the value going out, the value coming in, that was a really solid move, and you got these trade exceptions now that you can work with. It's kind of bummed that Mirza went down, because I had a feeling in the next few weeks, or definitely before the deadline, you're going to take one of those three guys and hopefully not attach too much to it, Mirza, Deli, and Henson, and try to get something back in return, at least a solid big, nothing special, but somebody that can protect the rim and grab some rebounds, because, boy, we're getting killed on the glass, although they won last night on the glass, and I can't remember what the numbers were for tonight, but it wasn't as bad as it usually
is. No, they barely lost. They barely lost on the glass, and they lost by, I just read the numbers. What was it? 49 to 42. So they lost by 7 on the boards.
But you also made mention Shaquille O'Neal is not walking through that door. You're grabbing boards again.
Yep.
Randall and that. Well, Randall's a nice player. Regardless, I'm very excited now that we got Bledsoe. I really do think over time, especially when you got Jabari coming back off the bench and you can get some solid scoring off the bench. I know that's your big thing is the bench squad here. You got Brogdon and Jabari coming off the bench giving you some points, or Snell on a given night, depending on what Jason Kidd does with the lineup. We're going to be very tough to beat.
What? I'm going to throw something out there, and I know there are a lot of people that are going to hate this idea, but he's making $2 million this year. It doesn't cost anything. He's on a one-year deal. Why not talk to the Lakers and try and get Bogut?
I was thinking that during the game, but I didn't even want to bring it up because I thought, you'd laugh me off. I didn't know how you feel about that, but that was the first thing that came to my mind. Either he's just getting his knee right again or whatever, and maybe they've been looking into it. But, man, that would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to be able to necessarily get up and run up and down the floor like you want to run up and down the floor. And I understand that. But from the aspect of rebounding and blocking shots, which is something you need right now, Bogut would be able to help you out in that aspect.
Now, I'm not huge with the capology stuff. I know this is horse. This is where he makes his bread and butter. I think the next move that is coming, although it won't be as big and flashy and splashy as this Bledsoe move, I think it's really going to, solidify that. And I don't know if you can explain better than I can understand how this trade exemption stuff works. I know we picked up a few more million dollars here in the Monroe move with Phoenix and all that. If you know anything about it, I really appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. All it does is just look at it this way. When you
when you make a trade in the NBA, you have to be within a certain percentage of money with both teams trading, unless one of the teams that's getting back money has an exorbitant amount of money underneath the salary cap where they can fit it in without having to do it that way. But more times than not, everybody is relatively close to the cap or over the cap, so it has to be within a certain percentage in order to make that work. When you start talking about trade exceptions and stuff like that, that kind of just allows you to get that work around to a certain degree, I guess is how it goes. If you look at Andrew Bogut last year, he only played in 26 games last year, averaged 22 minutes a game, and in 22 minutes a game, he averaged 8.5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 block shot, and a half a steal, and just 3 points scored. He was only taking 3 shots a game in 22 minutes of play. He was in Cleveland for a game. I don't even count that. If you go back to the previous season, 15-16 season, he played 20 minutes. That's really all you're going to ask him to play, right? You're going to ask him to play somewhere between 20 to 25 minutes, maybe. I doubt he'll play 25 minutes. But if you could get 20 minutes a night out of Andrew Bogut, and the last time he did that was in 15-16 with Golden State, he averaged 7 boards, 2.5 assists, a block and a half, and 5.5 points per game. Only took, what did he take? 4 shots? I'd do it. Again, $2 million. You're not tied up in a stupid money like you would be with Robin Lopez or, God forbid, Brooke Lopez or some of these other guys. It's not an expensive venture at all. It's a cheap, cheap, cheap date for a guy that's been here, likes Milwaukee, liked living in Milwaukee because of circumstances or whatever, ended up leaving and going somewhere else. But I'd take Bogut back. I'd take Bogut back in a heartbeat because I think he would help fix the issue that you have right now. Now, having said that, I think Thon Maker played pretty good tonight defensively. I thought he played solid. I think Henson played pretty decent tonight as well. You know, the other thing that goes along with it is you just want a guy that's been in the battles, that's been in the trenches, maybe even that has a ring, right? That's been at the top of the mountain, another veteran to go along in that locker room. And Andrew Bogut might be that guy that can come into this locker room and help make it a difference on top of that. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, he is the aforementioned John Henson. John, thanks for coming on.
How you guys doing?
Doing good. We were just talking about, you know, possibly adding another big guy to this bench after having a lost Greg Monroe, and the name Andrew Bogut came up, and obviously he was here and was with the Bucks at a certain point. But after I had mentioned his name, I had talked about the fact that you played well tonight. I thought Thon Maker played well defensively too, and you two guys now are getting a lot of run, obviously, with Greg Monroe out of the equation, and are seeming to make the most of it.
Yeah, he got traded, unfortunately, and it's our time for us to step up. And, that's what we've been trying to do, man, trying to stay in our lane and stay in our role and, help the team with what they need and, fit in where we can.
How about Eric Bledsoe getting put into the starting lineup? And it definitely appears that he's been trying to find you as much as anybody has been since you've been here and trying to get the lob game going with you and getting you some easy baskets underneath.
Yeah. I mean, he's a dynamic player, man. His speed, he can shoot it, man. He's a good defender. So, he just elevates our team that much more. And, 2-0 since we're having him. And, I'm going to credit that a little bit to him being on our team. And, it feels good.
What about Thon Maker? How has he changed from last year to this year?
I think, not having that pressure being a starter, he can just kind of find himself and, play a little more, play harder, and find the spots. And, I think it's only going to bode well for the future, man, because he is the future here. He's 19 years old. So I'm excited to see his progress. He's kind of in a similar situation as Giannis was his second year. And hopefully he can take those strides and become a great player.
Yeah, now the issue is, and it's really not an issue, is you don't want the fan base to start talking about him and Giannis in the same breath and expecting the same results.
No.
Right, exactly.
Giannis, a 7-foot center. Giannis, a 7-foot point guard. So there's a big difference right there.
No question about it. Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah. So I think his trajectory, if he does what he needs to do, he can be a great player in this league and really help his team.
What about the defense here? Last two nights, you guys stopped the Spurs and the Lakers, both to under 100 points after having some defensive struggles leading up to that. What's been the difference?
Oh, man, you know, I think film, for me personally, I made an effort to be up to touch on the pick and rolls and so everybody can get to the rotations earlier. And, you know, we make some mistakes, but for the most part, man, play good D, especially down the stretch tonight. We play good defense and got the win.
John, thanks so much for coming on, man. Good luck against Memphis.
Appreciate it.
You betcha. There he is, John Henson of your Milwaukee Bucks on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Great Midwest Bank has been committed to personalized common sense lending since 1935. When you're in the market to buy, build, renovate, or refinance, visit greatmidwestbank.com to discover the benefits of simply local banking.
You know a vein pops out of the side of your neck when you do that?
Really?
Did you ever notice that?
No.
Yeah. Like right now you're talking normal. There was no vein popping out. But when you read the Great Midwest Bank Hotline read, a vein pops out of the left side of your neck.
Gets me all excited. I'm ready to buy, build, refinance, and renovate, Sparky. I'm fired up.
Nicely played. Bucks over the Lakers tonight, 98-90. We'll take a quick timeout, come back, get more of your calls. What's been the favorite part of the Bucks basketball experience here in the 2017 so far season so far for you? And if you were at the game, want to hear what you thought the atmosphere was like and your thoughts on Lonzo Ball. First time seeing him in person at the Bradley Center. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Let's get tonight's Dave and Buster's shot of the game. Dave and Buster's Wauwatosa, the only place to eat, drink, play, and watch sports. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Bucks get a win tonight against the Lonzo Ball-led Lakers. Lonzo Ball, triple-double for him, makes him the youngest player in NBA history to record a triple-double. So if you were at a Bucks game tonight, you may not be a Lakers fan. You may not like Lonzo Ball. You may really dislike his father like the rest of the world. But I would still keep the ticket because if the kid turns out to be something, I think it might be worth something someday. 98-90 Bucks over the Los Angeles Lakers. The Bucks were led by Giannis, who just does what he does. 33 points, 15 boards, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 3 turnovers, and 40 minutes of play. Next up for the Bucks, Memphis coming up on Monday night. Get your tickets. That's my next challenge. Sell out a game during the week. I mean, I was impressed that they sold out tonight. I didn't think they'd sell out the Laker game tonight. I really didn't. So that was very impressive by Bucks fans to show up. And I'll see if we can sell it out on a school night. That'd be the next challenge. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's still a nice challenge to have. All right, shot of the game. I always let our producers pick shot of the game and defensive play of the game. They're the ones having to cut up the highlights and do all that fun stuff for me. So I let them pick what they want, and this is what Jeff Orlovsky picked, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin.
Giannis feeds Henson, the glass are rocked off. Yes! Unbelievable. Where did he come from?
Giannis, a man amongst boys, is really what he is, whether it be blocking shots, whether it be throwing dunks down on people's faces, whether it be taking what looks to be 100 steps, but it's really only like 2 steps to get to the rim. It is just amazing to watch. Asking you, what has been your favorite part about watching the Bucks this year? Good old KS says, tweets at the Fan, says, favorite part of the season, aside from the obvious, is the resurgence of Henson. The obvious, by the way, is Giannis. From the obvious is the resurgence of John Henson, who just joined us on the postgame show. The energy of DeAndre Liggins, how solid of a player Malcolm Brogdon truly is, and the stones of John Horst to make that deal. All great points by good old KS. And Liggins, you know, I was sitting here watching this game tonight, and it was brought up on ESPN last night because I was watching the ESPN broadcast before I came in here last night just to get the different perspective of Van Gundy, because I've always thought that Van Gundy tends to be anti-Buck going back to the days when Stan got fired by Herb Cole. So I always I'd like to see exactly what good old Jeff Van Gundy is going to say about the Bucks, and he was very, very good about the Bucks last night. And he had said, if Liggins ever gets a 3-point shot consistently, watch out, because then he's going to truly be a 3-and-D player at that point. And once that happens, he becomes a valuable asset to any NBA basketball team. And he's been hitting that 3-point shot better. You pay Tony Snell $9.8 million this year, $10.6 million in 2018, $11.3 million in 2019. And then there is a player option in 2020 that if he continues to play the way he's playing, he's definitely going to take at $12 million, $12.1 million. And if you look at how this is working, he's going to be the odd man out more than Dellavedova is. The way this is looking right now, as we project forward and look ahead here, he might end up being the odd guy out. These salaries that they've got on guys, I mean, the Henson salary, the Snell salary, the Dellavedova salary, and who else? Is that it? Yeah, I think that's it, because you moved the Monroe contract.
Well, with Parker to come.
With Jabari, you're going to have to pay, sure. And Middleton's going to be up eventually, too, here in a couple of years, as will Eric Bledsoe. But just going to be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out. All right, what has been your favorite part about the Bucks this year? 414-799-1250. Obviously, your thoughts on the Bucks-Lakers game, too. And obviously, it is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer along with Jeff Orlovsky. Where to, Jeff?
Art from downtown.
What's up, Art?
Hey, Sparky.
Good to hear from you, man. How you been?
Good, man. Everything's good.
Hey, man, I'm telling you something right now. I want that Ohtani fella from Japan for the Brewers.
We're talking Brewers now.
Yeah, I'm just telling you. Well, I heard your voice, and I think of baseball. I'm just telling you.
I got to tell you something real quick. I'm seasonal.
I got to tell you something right now. If those of you that are listening that don't know who I'm talking about, this kid's a sensation over there. He's like 23 years old, has off-the-chain bat, can pitch really well. He wants to play every day, even when he comes over to the big leagues. Everybody's going to be involved because you can't overspend for him based on the rules with him coming over at this age. But the Brewers have been linked to him for over a year now, and I guess I never really knew why they were linked to him other than he's a good player, and why wouldn't the Brewers want a really good player? But then today I read Tom Hartricourt, and I found out that the reason they're linked to him is because his agent is also Matt Garza's agent, Ryan Braun's agent, Nori Aoki's agent, all the same guy. So that gives me hope that the Brewers may be able to get in the middle of this thing. That would be nice.
Yeah, you look at some of these Japanese pitchers too, man.
He can do both, and he's 23. Boy, that would be unbelievable. Because everybody thinks, you know, it'll be one of the larger market teams that'll end up with him. If the Brewers could somehow or another slither in and get him, that'd be pretty good. All right, sorry to divert from the Bucks.
No, and I'm seasonal, man. Whatever team's up, man, I'm all over it. So, you know, I think the obvious one is the progression of Giannis, to see him come in and at the physical maturity over the off season. I mean, wow, that was incredible. But I always say, Sparky, it's all about enjoying the journey. And what I saw this weekend from Malcolm Brogdon was just, that's beyond impressive, because you got a rookie of the year, and here the team goes out and they bring in a guy who's going to basically take your job. And so you're wondering, okay, what's his minutes going to be? You know, is it going to cut his minutes, and what's the kid going to do? And for him to come off the bench and play the way he played this weekend, didn't force anything. I think he was, 9 for 19, 7 boards yesterday. I mean, that is so impressive for a young player mentally to be able to, accept the fact that somebody has come in, taken your position as a starter, right? It's all about starting too, isn't it, for young players? And to go out and play with that poise and maturity, I mean, a lot of people are going to talk about Eric Bledsoe, right? I mean, but come on, 1 for 11, 3-point shooting. He didn't play great tonight, and he played okay last night. And so the easy thing is to say, wow, Bledsoe was the difference. But I can't say enough about Malcolm Brogdon and the maturity he showed, the poise he showed, rookie of the year last year.
Well, the other thing too, though, Art, is to look at it from this perspective, and that is Brogdon last night played 34 minutes, so he didn't lose minutes. Technically, yes, he's coming off the bench. He's not even the first player off the bench, because Kidd is bringing Dellavedova off the bench first. But Brogdon still gets 33 minutes tonight. I think if he continues to get 30 or more minutes, I don't think Brogdon really is going to care one way or the other, because if you get 30 or more minutes, you're going to have the opportunity to get the shots that you want, be able to get the points that you want, and get the numbers that you want at the end of the day. Now, if his minutes all of a sudden go down to 15 to 20 minutes a night, then I think Brogdon probably isn't going to be too excited about the fact that he's on the bench anymore.
No, and give Jason Kidd some credit, because that was the big question, is how is he going to divvy up these minutes, and how much was he going to play Middleton, Bledsoe, Brogdon, and Giannis together, right? I mean, that's the thing.
Right.
As you said, Tony Snell may be the odd man out, but it's a long season. Tony Snell is going to get hot. You know, Snell. Middleton,
he was hot. He was shooting 51% from three heading into that game yesterday.
You look at tonight, Snell, Middleton, Bledsoe, none of those guys played well.
Nope.
And we still won by eight, albeit against a really a poor team. But it's a good sign when you can win games when you got three guys who you are pretty much going to rely on to be scorers.
Exactly.
And none of them had good games.
Yep, I agree, Art. Thanks for the call, man.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Where to next, Mr. Orlowski?
Kyle, who's leaving the Bradley Center now.
What's up, Kyle?
Hey, how's it going?
Going good, man.
Yeah, well, it's raining now on 94 West, heading back to Madison.
Yeah, it was raining on the way into work myself tonight. I got caught in that rain.
Whew. But, hey, that's okay. The Bucks pulled out the win.
That's right.
Yeah, I called because I hate to admit that I don't want to root for Lonzo Ball, but the kid can play.
Yeah, he can. But Him hitting threes tonight, I'm not sure I buy into that. I mean, he hasn't hit threes the entire season, and he hit three of them tonight. So he's going to fix that shot, obviously, but there's no question. He's going to be able to rebound amongst the best at the guard position. Maybe he'll be the best rebounding guard at the position. He's got great court vision. He knows how to run in transition and lead a fast break. He can get a couple of steals here and there and obviously block some shots. The question for him in his career is going to be, how well can he shoot that basketball for outside? You know, is he going to struggle like Jason Kidd did early in his career, or is he going to be able to stroke it? And we're going to find out because he's got an ugly-looking shot when he puts it up.
It certainly is unorthodox. And like you said, you know, kind of the flip side of that coin is that he's been shooting terribly coming into this game, yep. And then sure enough, he has a hot game.
Yeah, he has a hot game. But again, like you said, while he had the hot game, the Bucks still able to overcome that. I mean, 19 points, 13 assists, 12 boards, youngest kid ever to have a triple-double in NBA history, and you overcome that, and you still beat that Lakers team who had 21 from Kuzma, who, by the way, the Bucks could have had him instead of DJ Wilson, but I won't get into that. 21 points from Kuzma, 17 from and 9 off the bench from Randall tonight. And again, still win that game, and I think you got to be pretty excited about that if you're a Bucks fan, knowing you're 500 again after going through a little bit of a rough patch there on the last road trip.
Especially after coming back from a win in San Antonio.
Well, and that's the other thing. You know, that back-to-back deal where the Bucks played 8 o'clock last night in San Antonio, the Lakers are here, apparently went to one of these places, one of these escape room places. You ever been to one of these places?
I have many times,
yeah.
Actually.
So that's what they did yesterday in Milwaukee. They all got together for a team-building exercise. I guess it was Walton's idea would be my guess. And they all went to one of these escape room places. And I guess it was Brooke Lopez's team, I think, that ended up being the winning team in it. But that's what they were doing last night while the Bucks were busting their butt trying to win in San Antonio. So clearly the Lakers were the rested team, and the Bucks get the win. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Have a safe drive back to Madison. Man, you imagine that, driving down from Madison. Come see the Bucks game, turn around, drive right on back to Madison right there after the game. That's good. That's dedication. That's being a good Bucks fan. That's like being a Milwaukee fan going to Green Bay for a Packers game. All right, let's take a quick timeout, get to a sports flash with Jeff Orlovsky. He'll give you more details on this Bucks victory. It's the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show here on The Fan.
What defensive play stood out? Here's the Laborers Local 113 defensive play of the game. The Laborers Local 113, Milwaukee. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
Welcome back. Bucks get the win tonight over the Los Angeles Lakers, 98-90, improving now to 6-6 on the year, 3-3 at home. Bucks now return home to take out, well, not return home. They play at home again to take on the Memphis Grizzlies on Monday night, and that will be an interesting game because you're going to have to deal with the likes of Marc Gasol and see how that all plays out. Memphis tonight, let's see how they did. They lost to Houston tonight, 111-96. Gasol, 28 minutes, 15 points, 9 rebounds. Conley, 12 points, 5 assists in 28 minutes. They didn't play a lot of minutes at all. Wow. Yeah, they played a lot of guys. Tyreek Evans, 22 points, 6 assists, 5 boards. He had a nice night for them tonight. But they got hammered by the Rockets, 111-96. They're now 7-5 after that one. So pretty evenly matched up two teams, it looks like, coming up here. And as long as they can control the boards, I think the Bucks got a good shot at winning that one on Monday night. Lonzo Ball gets a triple-double. That'll be the story, I'm sure, tomorrow or tonight if you turn on the sports highlight shows. But Giannis is 33 points, 15 boards. Can't be ignored either. The Bucks win their first bench scoring matchup of the year for the first time all season. their bench outscores the other team's bench. So that also is a positive. 16 for Brogdon, 10 for Dellavedova off the bench to lead the way for the Bucks. Asking you, what's been your favorite part of the season to this point for the Milwaukee Bucks? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. You can also tweet us at 105.7 FM, the Fan. Martinez tweets at the Fan, I'm fine with this scrappy win. They put it all on the line. Last year, we lose this type of game off of a back-to-back. This team is maturing right before our eyes. Bledsoe will be fine. I'm not worried about his game. Just not in game shape yet, but it will come. That's Martinez tweeting at the Fan. Who's up next, Jeff?
Let's go to Curtis leaving the game.
What's up, Curtis?
What's going on, Sparky? How you doing, man?
Doing good.
Good, man. Yeah, I went down to the game, man. I really enjoyed it. Bucks are really entertaining. It's actually my third game this year. They lost the other two, unfortunately. I went to the Cleveland game and the OKC game. But tonight, what I seen out there, man, I really liked what I saw as far as the the balance they had and things of that nature. And Malcolm Brogdon, man, that's just a class act right there, man. To go ahead and say, okay, you know, I'm coming off the bench and, you know, he's still getting the minutes and everything else. I think what the Bucks lack, what I like to see, though, was the block shot. I found the night Thon was aggressive down in the post. Henson was aggressive on defense. But I think if they could get a rebounding presence, that's the one issue I have is the Bucks do not get a lot of offensive rebounds. It seems like they just take off right down the court right after a shot goes up. Like,
yeah, they don't want to get beat in transition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can see it because nobody even goes to the glass, man. That's the one issue I have right now. But other than that, man, and you know, as far as Lonzo Ball is concerned, people can say what they want about the kid, and I think it's really unfair because his dad being who he is. The kid's going to be good at this level, man. I mean, his jump shot obviously lacks a lot, but the interesting thing is the way he shoots free throws, he doesn't shoot free throws like he shoots his jumper.
Right. Isn't that weird?
I wonder why. Yeah, I was thinking about that when I was watching. But as far as my favorite thing about the season so far, I just really like the way Giannis is just, you know, it's just, like I say, I call it a freak show every time I post about it on Facebook because it's just like you're always going to see some kind of highlight, man. And he's just, his game, the way it's just transforming and coming around, when he develops a consistent jump shot, he's going to be unstoppable.
And this jumper is getting better. I mean, you can see this year. He's hitting shots. He's hitting turnaround shots now. He had no prayer of hitting any of that last year before.
And when he used to shoot the jump shot, he was hoping it would go in. Now
right.
He shoots it with conviction.
Yep. Yeah, there's a big difference there, no question. You can see the confidence building in him as well. And again, when you work as hard as he works and the way he mm-hmm. does with the talent that he has, it's going to come eventually. And when it does, I mean, think about it. I mean, he's averaging over 30 right now.
And
it hasn't happened yet. It has not happened. He's averaging 31.5 points a game and 10 rebounds a game. So far this year. His career average is 15.5 points per game and 7 rebounds per game.
Yeah, he's just been absolutely amazing. And I really hope the Bucks lock him up for the long term. Like, you know, it looks like they will. And, man, to see this and, you know, have the new arena coming next year. I mean, things are looking up, man, for the Bucks, and it's awesome.
No question.
He's been a fan a long time.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see how it all plays out. Thanks so much, Curtis, for calling
absolutely.
In. You know, he was – remember earlier in the year, I keep going back to this because it's funny to me, and I think we have the audio. You just got to find it. Jim Paschke sat down with Giannis. Was it Bucks Media Day or was it during the summertime? I don't remember. But and talked about Giannis's goals or whatever else. And Paschke just mentioned in passing, well, obviously you're not going to win Most Improved Player of the Year. And Giannis stopped him. Why can't I win Most Improved Player of the Year? Well, I mean, you won it last year. Yeah. Why can't I have a better year last year or this year than I had last year to be able to go win it again this year? So if you look at his numbers currently, this year to last year, he averaged 22.9 points per game last year, coming off of averaging 16.9. So he improved by 6 points per game from 2015 to 2016. Currently, he's improved by 9 points from last year to this year. 22.9 to 31.5. Rebounding, he improved from 7.7 to 8.8 from 15 to 16. This year, from 16 to 17, he's gone from 8.8 rebounds to 10 rebounds per game. Almost a rebound and a half per game improvement there, which is better than last year when he had most improved player. The one area where he's down a little bit is assists, and it's not that much. 5.5 assists to 4.8 assists. I'm assuming that will go up for sure as the season goes on along, especially once Jabari gets back. Free throw percentage is down a little bit, 77% to 76% for the most part. Three-point percentage is up from 27% to 31% this year. Field goal percentage way up from 52% to 59% this year. Call me crazy, but kid's going to have a chance to win Most Improved Player again if he continues to play at this pace. Now, Porzingis has taken a gigantic step, too. We'd have to look at Porzingis' numbers. Porzingis had another good night tonight as they beat Sacramento 118-91, but don't rule out Giannis yet for that Most Improved Player one again. So 98-90, Bucks over the Lakers. Where are we going to next, Jeff?
Justin in North Carolina.
What's up, Justin?
Spark, what's up, brother?
You tell me, man.
Man, I'm going to tell you where I am in the game. I'm 2 minutes ago in the first quarter. I just left the Blackhawks and the Hurricanes game out here, man, but I'm going to tell you this.
The what game?
I went to a hockey game tonight.
Oh, good for you. Good.
Blackhawks and the Hurricanes. One time they come out here to North Carolina, so, you know. This one thing I want to say before I get to my point about this season, what I've loved about it, do not let me go to more Bucks games than you if you live in the city of Milwaukee. Please don't. That's terrible. But you know, Spark, I got to go on the road. So what I've been impressed with on the road, there are a lot more Bucks fans on this road now, Sparky.
Well, yeah, they're Giannis fans.
They're Giannis fans. I get it. But just seeing that green and that cream and the crowd, it's exciting. When Giannis dunks on Frank Kaminsky, return favor, by the way.
Yep.
The entire stadium is just ooh and on. I've never, you know, Spark, I've been a Bucks fan almost as long as you, pretty close. I've never remember going on the road and, you know, people, the autograph seekers and those type of guys, those are guys you see on the road with Bucks jerseys on. But, no, you actually see legitimate guys that are rooting for the Bucks that are talking to you about the game. I forgot who we got thumped by the night before the Hornets game or whatever, but they're talking to you about that. That's amazing. And John Henson, God bless that guy, man. He's playing a lot better basketball.
Well, yeah, he is, and there's a lot more pressure on him, too, right now, because they have to have him, and I'm sure he understands that they have to have him, and I'm sure the coaches have told him, hey, look, you have to play every night the way you're supposed to play, because if you do not, we are going to have big-time problems inside, because we don't have anybody else at this moment in time. They're going to get somebody, but I think he has really stepped up, and Thonmaker tonight, I thought he played well defensively tonight.
Hey, through this first quarter, what I've seen so far, I like the fact that Thon was challenging the shots. I mean, Randle's a bigger body, so he's going to push him out the way, obviously, but Thon stepped up. So the thing that I really like, and we know who the MVP of this team is. Like, we don't have to acknowledge Giannis because he's a unicorn of our city. But the MVP of this team, I believe, is Jason Terry. Just showing these guys his work ethic, just being that voice, like, hey, I've went through these battles. He's talking to Thon. You see it during timeouts when you go to the game. He's talking to Thon. He's talking to Henson. He's talking to Brogdon. And he just – this is a guy, once he's done playing, we need to make sure we keep this guy in Milwaukee on his coaching staff, because I think that he has a great eye for the game, but he is a guy that can help motivate these guys. And I just – I love the defensive effort the last two nights. And, you know, I know we're going to win, and I don't mind spoiling it to call him the best Bucks postgame show ever. Forget the other ones.
There is no other ones. That's a great thing. There's just us.
Yeah, but it's great. But, Sparky, this is what we need for 105.7, right? This is what we need real quick, and I'm going to go after this. We need a Bucks pregame show, just like we have a Brewers pregame show.
Well, I'll tell you what, Justin, If we become the flagship of that station, you'll end up with a pregame show.
Well, I'll tweet anybody I need to tweet. I'll do whatever I need to do because, you know, I'm Team Sparky, Team GE.
Yeah.
Hey, one last thing I forgot. It. Hey, hi, Leroy Butler, you Laker fan. We see you. All right, man, I'm going, bro.
All right, buddy, see you later. Yeah, he is a Laker fan. He's a Bucks fan, too, though. Don't get crossed up. He likes the Lakers and he likes the Bucks. But, yeah, he is definitely a Lakers fan, no question. And he is really, really excited about his guy, Lonzo Ball, for the LA Lakers. See, about LaMelo Ball, his brother?
Oh, yeah.
UCLA.
Stuck in China.
UCLA left. He's going to be there for a couple more weeks, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not good.
Dude, I'm telling you what, man.
It's not a good look for the quote-unquote big baller brand retail theft.
I'm telling you right now, don't mess around in China. Dude, what are you doing, man?
I mean, you go shoplift somewhere in this country, that's on you. You go shoplift in China? That's where you picked to do this?
Yeah.
I want to see your test scores of how you got into UCLA. Okay, where are we going next?
Let's go to Tony from the North Side.
What's up, Tony?
What's up, Sparky?
You tell me.
Oh, man. First of all, before I make my comment, I'm loving what the Bucks are doing. I'm all behind them. I love the fact that Giannis is balling. I was apprehensive about the Bledsoe trade. We were talking about how that the team didn't have any speed. And I happened to see Jason Kidd in an interview, and he mentioned team speed, so it made a lot of sense that you need to become more athletic and get some speed on that team. So I came around to the trade. It's a good trade. Good trade. Good move. But my question for you, and you tell me, one thing I do after all these games with the league pass, I go to box scores and I watch the minutes getting played by the Bucks players, and also the number of players who have played in the game.
Sure.
And I routinely see four guys who have 0 minutes. You may have more insight of why those guys aren't playing.
I'll tell you what's going on. This is simple. This is real simple for me. I said at the beginning of the season that there was no excuse, at least in my thought process, to be screwing around with rotations this year when you know everybody on the roster, outside of the couple of rookies, Wilson and Sterling Brown, outside of them, everybody else was on this roster last year. So you know everybody's roles, you know everybody's strengths, weaknesses. Right. Rotation shouldn't be any different. Now you add Bledsoe, so you're like, okay, maybe this will change up a little bit. But for the most part, he's playing eight-man rotations, and that's it.
I don't like that, man. I hate that.
It's the Tom Thibodeau way of doing things, I guess you could say.
That is Tom Thibodeau. Wear your players the hell out before the playoff season comes, and you wonder why you got injuries, you got nagging injuries. I am a big proponent that in this league of today, that you need 11 cats every night. Now, that's my – because I look at the Warriors, I look at – even Minnesota, he's even changing that a little bit up in Minnesota. No, he's not. I'm sorry. Wrong team. Okay, I'm even noticing teams like Philly, even the Lakers, that's the influence of Steve Kerr. But that old school Pat Riley concept of playing eight.
But understand, Tony, every year up until this one, he was doing it your way. Until this year, he was doing it your way. Now this year is the first year where he's not doing it that way. And my answer to that is a couple of reasons why. Number one, they're in win now mode. They're in go get 50 wins, be a top four seed, have home court advantage in the playoffs, continue to build this team's confidence, show them what it's like to be in this mode all year, have to play hard every night. I think that's part of it. The other part of it is he simply does not trust what's on his bench. Jason Terry's a vet. He trusts him, but he's watching Terry's minutes because he wants him, I'm sure, for later in the season. But DJ Wilson isn't ready. Sterling Brown isn't ready. He doesn't trust Rashad Vaughn clearly still. That's why they didn't pick up his option. Gary Payton the second's up, but they're really not concentrating on him. Ballin Boy they just got from the G League, so I don't think they have any faith in him yet. So really what he's telling you is, they really only have 9 guys they trust right now, and Liggins comes and goes as far as how much they trust him. That's it. I mean, that's where we're at. Until they get another big guy, they don't have anybody else to play. That's it. I mean, who else do you want them to play that they're not playing?
Well, you know, I guess my thing is, man, I saw Vaughn in the summer league, and I don't know what the issue is with Vaughn. Hey, you know, I'm not at their practices, you know what I'm saying?
I don't care.
I thought Vaughn could be that guy that – you know, you bring in in some minutes, and you let him do, and you let him, and, you, and if you swing the ball right, he can hopefully be that guy that can hit you a corner three, get a guy off the dribble, and I just believe that you have to know how to. I don't think certain coaches know how to play young guys. I think that's something about young coaches. They like veterans, but they don't know how to bring along young guys. And I know some teams have more of a luxury, like. Jason Kidd would never play Looney, but Steve Kerr does. Steve Kerr does. And I think we both can admit, Looney, it's not like Looney has wowed anybody.
They didn't pick up his option either, so he'll be a free agent.
Exactly, but what I'm saying is he's still got clock, he's still got minutes.
Yep.
They have that rookie this year. He's getting minutes.
Yep.
On a deep Warriors team.
But the difference is that that team has proven to be able to win a ring. That team has a superstar power. That team, like Cleveland or San Antonio, can rest their players because they know they can kick it in whenever they want to kick it in. Jason Kidd's team has not shown the ability to kick it in whenever they need to kick it in. They're not at that level. Once Kidd gets his team to that level consistently for a year or two, then I think you'll start to see everybody's minutes come down. But he needs them to show that they can do it night in, night out all year and get to 50 wins. Thanks for the call. And I don't think – I just want to clarify. I don't think there's pressure on Jason Kidd. And I know there are some people that think there is. I'm not one of them. I don't think there is. This Bledsoe trade, come on. He just gave him an extension. He's not going anywhere. He's just not. Just lay off of the Jason Kidd stuff. He's here. You may not like Jason Kidd. You may not like different aspects of who Jason Kidd as a coach. Whatever. All I can tell you is you're stuck with him if you don't like him. He's not going anywhere. Now, does he have the job security of McCarthy? No. But I don't think he's in any danger of going anywhere regardless. This team is going in the right direction slowly but surely. Two good games defensively back-to-back here, so maybe we're going to start to turn the corner here if they can bring the same intensity level night in and night out. And you can see the difference that one superstar can make on a roster. Do you see the difference? Giannis 33 points a night versus Giannis at, say, 14 or 15 a night and how bad this team would be? One superstar can make everything feel a lot better. See Aaron Rodgers. Can make everything feel a lot better. When you got a cat averaging 31 a night, yeah, this roster all of a sudden doesn't look all that bad. And Middleton isn't playing up to Middleton. Well, at least in my humble opinion, I think Middleton can play a hell of a lot better than he's playing. And once that happens, and then you add Jabari, and Bledsoe gets his legs underneath him and hopefully stays healthy, cross your fingers, for the entire season. Brogdon continues to play with a sense of urgency like he's played with since they moved him to the bench. This team, telling you, they're going to be all right. Now, good enough to win the East, I don't know about that, but they're going to make things interesting if nothing else. But the defense has to continue to play well, and you have to have bench play. Those will be two big keys going forward. All right, got to get to a sports flash with the Polish pipe bomb. Is that what Tim Allen calls you?
Yes, sir.
I kind of like the nickname. Do you like the nickname?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's all right. It's pretty cool. I do. Yeah. The Polish Pick and Save postgame show.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Let's hear from the Bucks head coach. It's time for the Coach's Corner. Sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Your Milwaukee Bucks get a win tonight. Yes, 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 he did. Lonzo Ball did get a triple-double. He is the youngest to get a triple-double in NBA history, but guess what? He lost, as did the rest of his teammates with the Lakers. 98-90, Giannis continues to be a beast. 33 points, 15 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, a block shot, 3 turnovers for Giannis tonight. Bench finally outscores the opposing team for the first time all year. Led by Brogdon's 16 points and Dellavedova's 10. Let's hear from Bucks head coach Jason Kidd after this win.
Coach, I think one of the biggest things that stands out on the stat sheet is the 23 turnovers you all forced. And last night you only gave up 87 points. Tonight only 90. What do you think has been the key to the defense getting better?
I think with focus, that's all we've been talking about. Is the defensive end on this road trip, understanding defense wins games. No matter what, your offense you could be hot or you could be cold, but the defense keeps you in ball games. And I thought, again, playing last night in San Antonio, being on a high, understanding the Lakers were waiting on us, a team that's going to get out and run, I thought the guys did a great job of focusing on the defensive end, rebounding the ball, and then taking care of the ball, getting shots, make or miss. I thought our bench gave us a big spark tonight, something that we haven't had, this season.
I was going to ask you about that. You guys outscored them 33-25, and Malcolm, another big game, and once again, playing over 30 minutes, but being a big key in this win.
Yeah, I think, just again, we talked about it before the game, Malcolm being a pro, going to the bench and giving us something that we haven't had. You know, someone coming off the bench, giving us points, also rebounds. But again, I thought we could play small. We played extremely small again tonight, rebounding the ball, again, playing through Giannis. Guys were a little tired there at the end, or maybe even before the game started, but it just showed the maturity of us understanding what was at stake and trying to validate last night's win.
Looking at getting a win in a back-to-back, that's always kind of just the goal, just sneak out with a win. Does this show a sign of maturity that maybe this team didn't have in the past, that they could come back and get a win in this back-to-back?
Yeah, I think, you know, playing in San Antonio last night and getting in late and understanding. Chris didn't have a great game. You know, some of the guys didn't play well offensively, but they stayed together as a team and found a way defensively to get stops and then capitalize when they turned the ball over. We tried to turn those into points. He's a very talented player. I thought, again, he got off to a great start shooting the ball. And then his strengths, again, finding the teammates and being able to rebound the ball and make the game easy for his teammates. And he did that at a very high level tonight.
He had been compared to you. You heard the comparisons. And you said, hey, give the kid some time. Let him kind of develop on his own way. Is it a little bit of a coincidence of him getting his first triple-double playing with you for the first time?
That's going to be the, I guess, the headline that he got a triple-double, and I got to see it in the front row. Ball can play, and he's going to make his teammates better. He's going to make his team better. Triple-double, that's going to be the norm for him. He's going to fill up the stat sheet.
How much of a spark is DeAndre giving you off the bench right now, especially on the defensive end where his hustle has just been consistent?
He was big for us tonight. I thought he got us going there with his defensive play. And then most of the time it's going to go unnoticed, but I thought his shots that he made, he's knocking down the jump shot. We needed that, and he's responded. He's worked extremely hard, and so defensively is where he, you know, lays his hat. But I thought tonight being able to make some plays offensively helped us too.
Obviously, we've talked about Malcolm in a different role, but Dele the same way. He sees another point guard come in. He doesn't seem bothered by it and has a great night tonight. What did he mean? And I guess is this just kind of par for the course with Dele, just being that kind of leader in the locker room?
Yeah, I think Dele's been in this situation in Cleveland. Playing with other stars or being asked to do something different. He just knows one way, and that's to play hard. If he starts, he's going to play hard. If he comes off the bench, he's going to play hard. And he does his job at a very high level. And again, tonight he helped that bench, give us a lift, much needed lift. And we're going to need that bench because my starters are playing a lot of minutes.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show, presented by Durzon and Menard. We're heading into the Bucks locker room to hear what the players saw on the court. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, Bucks get the win over the Los Angeles Lakers, 98-90. You heard Kidd there mention at the end. His starters are playing a lot of minutes, and Giannis is one of those guys that is definitely playing a lot of minutes. 40 minutes tonight, 12 of 19 from the floor, 9 of 11 from the free throw line, 33 points, 15 boards, 3 assists, a steal, a block, and 3 turnovers for Giannis in the victory. If you look at his minutes per game so far this year, averaging 37 minutes a night in his career, he's averaged 32 minutes a night, which is something I don't know if I'd be concerned about necessarily. He's averaging 5 more minutes a night. But if you look at last year, 35.6 minutes a night. This year, 37.1. Not that much of a difference. Nothing to get too worked up over, him averaging 37 minutes a night. At least not right now, it's not. Now, if at some point he starts talking about how he's exhausted and he needs a night off or something like that, okay. Then maybe you got to pull it back a little bit. But right now, as long as he's good, I'm good. Letting him play the minutes he has to play. Let's hear what Giannis had to say after the game tonight.
I think he did great. He's a really good player. I think as he keep working hard and helping his team win, he's going to do great things in this league. I think he's a great talent. You can see he has like a really good basketball instinct. High IQ for he's just 19. He had a triple double tonight, right? He did well.
He's the youngest guy ever.
Jealous? No. I'm not jealous. you know, I'm happy for him, but thank God we got the win. That's all that matters.
You know, what does it say about you guys as a team when you come on that back-to-back after a tough game last night, come home and be able to pull out this win the way you did?
You know, it was tough. A lot of us was tired. We played hard last night. But, you know, to validate last night win, you got to win tonight. You know, and that's what we tried to do. And thank God at the end of the day, we won tonight's game. And we're moving forward now. We're waiting for Memphis.
What have these last two games been like for you? I mean, you're just playing with different guys that you haven't played before. The rotations change around a little bit. What is that transition been?
It's just, for me, it's just easy. You know, I don't have to, like, fight, you know, to make plays no more. I'm off the ball. When I feel like I need the ball, I can get the ball back. So it's just, the transition is easy for me because I'm a player that just makes plays and help others get better. So it doesn't really matter for me who comes and, you know, who goes. Like, it doesn't really matter. I'm still going to do the same thing, keep making plays. And, you know, just having Bledsoe out there, I think, and not just Bledsoe, and Malcolm and Dele at the same time sometimes. You know, it makes the game easier. You know, Dele can handle the ball. Malcolm can handle the ball. Bledsoe can handle the ball, and at the end of the day, I can handle the ball too, or free bounce. It just makes the game easier, not just for me, for everybody.
Off ball has been somewhere you've done a nice job throughout your career. Is it nice to get back to that you can be off ball a little bit now and make some cuts?
Right now, in this time of my career, I think it's great because I'm getting a lot of hits out there, you know, like pounding and stuff. But, you know, I know that I'm going to be a player that I'm going to have the ball in his hands a lot. But for right now, it just makes my job a lot easier, and all that matters is winning. So if we can win like that, it's really good for the team. That's it.
One more. Defensively, what's the difference in these last couple games? Obviously, you help teams under 100 two nights in a row.
I'm just playing harder. You know, I think everybody have stepped up, especially the bigs. They're playing a lot harder. They're helping us defensively. You know, sometimes us smalls mess up the coverage, and they're always there for us lately. And if they keep doing that, we're going to keep it. Teams under 100, and I think we've got to give a lot of credit to the bigs.
There you go. So he's talking about Thon Maker and John Henson. That's it. Plain and simple. Didn't say my name. Said the bigs. Well, you only got two of them, so it's got to be those two. So those are your guys that he's giving credit to. Hopefully they hear that credit and continue to play that well. If this team holds teams under 100 points, they're going to win a whole bunch of games. They're going to win a whole bunch of games if you start keeping teams under 100 points. That there is a no-brainer. All right, let's hear from the president, Malcolm Brogdon, who tonight off the bench played well again. 33 minutes, 16 points, 3 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals, couple of turnovers. Did hit 2 three-pointers, 4-4 at the line. This is the president afterwards.
You know, I think we're playing well together. I think it helps having two point guards coming off the bench, me and Dele, playing together. It helps the ball be facilitated. Everybody's touching. Everybody, you know, feels like they're into the game and they play defense harder. It's huge. You know, acquiring Eric really allows us to, you know, be a deeper team, to be able to bring better players off the bench and, you know, to keep coming at teams with you know, strong guards and strong players.
What does it mean that you guys want this back-to-back? You obviously had a big win last night, fly in late and still get the win. Is this a sign of more maturity from this team this summer?
I think so. You know, we have playoff experience now. You know, we have great vets, John Henson, Chris, Giannis, Jabari, Jet. So, you know, we follow their lead, and, you know, I think we've matured as a whole.
How much does it help you knowing that you may not be starting, but after the game you've been closing and you're still relied upon as a part of this team?
It's huge for me, huge for my confidence. You know, that's what's most important. I told Coach that it's not about starting, it's about finishing games, and, you know, I'm glad I'm in at the end of the game. So that's what I want to do. I want to help the team finish. Oh, he's huge. He's huge. He's a dog. You know, he's tough. He might be the toughest guy we have right now. But, You know, he's gritty. He gives us everything we need. That edge, he gives us the edge. It's definitely it's more mental than anything. Of course, you're not going to be as warm. You're going to be a little stiff coming off the bench, but your mentality, you know, you have to understand what your role is coming off the bench compared to starting. When I come off the bench, I'm playing with a different group of guys, so I have to be a little bit more aggressive, look for my shot a little bit more, but also be a vocal leader and be more of a leader on the floor. It's our system. I think it's Coach Kidd. I think he allows guys to, you know, he breathes confidence into you, into everybody. So you feel confident whether you're coming off the bench, whether you're starting. If you're a new guy, you feel confident. He gives you confidence. He gives you freedom to play.
There he is, Malcolm Brogdon, the president. After the Bucks get the win tonight, 98-90 over the Los Angeles Lakers, we will check in with Gary Wolfel coming up here in just a few minutes, get his thoughts on the game tonight. At the BMO Harris Bradley Center, a Bucks win next up. Memphis Monday night at the Bradley Center. Make sure to get your tickets there. And just a reminder, this is the last year they're playing at the Bradley Center. And speaking of that, did you see the article of what one group of people, God bless you, downtown Milwaukee want the Bucks to do when they get rid of the Bradley Center?
I did not.
They want the Bucks to make it a dog park.
Good luck with that. That is prime real estate.
Now, I do not know if Gary Ellerson and Rami Makhlouf are part of that group.
Oh, I bet Rami's in.
So I have to be careful of what I say because I know Gary takes his dog to the dog park like every day now out in Muskego. So I have no idea if he is part of trying to get a dog park next to the new Bucks Arena or not. But please don't let there be a dog park next to New Bucks Arena. Please. My God, no. I mean, you could build a hotel there. You could have office space. You could have retail space. You could have restaurants. There's lots of things you can do.
You could build another parking lot.
Build a bowling alley. Is there a bowling alley in downtown Milwaukee? I don't believe there is.
How about one of those... indoor-outdoor driving ranges, like Top Golf.
Because it's Milwaukee, I guess, is my reason for that. It's Milwaukee. I don't know if I don't know. Maybe everybody else. I've never been to Top Golf. I've seen the ads pop up on Twitter and stuff. I've never actually been to one. But like the bowling alley, like I'd be thinking about if anybody, because I'm going to go right back to Disney, it's called Splitsville. In Disney Springs, if anybody's ever been to that bowling alley in their Disney Springs, that type of bowling alley is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just a standard bowling alley that you see all over the country. Something over the top and dramatically different than what you would see anywhere else. This Splitsville in Orlando, actually Disney Springs, everything's done in like red velvet and red leather all the way around. It's got a huge sports bar, huge outdoor patio, huge restaurant. The lanes are broken up into sections, spread out over two floors into sections of,
nice.
What would it be, eight lanes here, eight lanes there, all over the place. Red velvet pool tables. It's phenomenal. Absolutely
nice.
Phenomenal. And again, it's different. And it would be another entertainment option. That you could have in downtown Milwaukee, especially during the winter time, or now, as it be, when it's so cold outside of just going to a movie, you know, which eventually they'll get a movie theater down there. Besides that, you'd have another entertainment option, but I'm sure that won't happen either. I'm going to hold my breath in the bowling alley. Wahlburgers, still like that idea, though. 98-90 Bucks over the Lakers. Let's hear from Lonzo Ball, who got the first triple-double. Well, he's the youngest to ever record a triple-double in NBA history with his triple-double tonight in a Lakers loss. He had 19 points, 13 assists, 12 rebounds, 3 steals, 4 block shots, 7 of 12 shooting, 3 of 5 from 3, 2 of 4 from the line in 39 minutes. This is what Lonzo Ball had to say afterwards.
All right, Lonzo, Luke said that he knows you already and that you wouldn't care much about the triple-double and all that and just kind of frustrated about the loss. So what did you think happened in the game? How did Milwaukee end up taking it?
Second half, they just came out more physical than us, to be honest. You know, Giannis and the big guys over there got a lot of second-chance points and a lot of inside, you know, paint touches, and that really hurt us.
You got into a rhythm early in that first quarter with your shot, and then the passes started coming, getting guys for layups. So what were you noticing with the defense, and how was that working?
Just came out aggressive. They were blitzing a lot, so that makes the role pretty much open. You know, pass it quick enough, and then when they went under, I just shot it.
Do you think this was basically the same shots that you've been having that just happened to go in tonight, or was there any kind of adjustment?
I told you, I'm going to keep shooting, so they failed tonight.
And then with the way that the passes were oftentimes leading to layups, that was just Milwaukee plays kind of an aggressive style, so did you have to keep it an extra?
They definitely play aggressive, you know, on defense, but my guys are rolling hard tonight, and I'm credit to them for catching and putting in.
And when they're blitzing like that, does that create more angles for you?
Yeah, you just have to work on, you know, the help side, because the help side didn't come quick or stay. So it's up to the big man to make that decision, but, you know, if they keep rolling hard like that, you know, it's going to be good offense for us.
What is your reaction to getting initial?
I really don't care. I mean, we took a loss, so it don't really mean nothing.
Does it feel significant to you in any way to be the youngest guy to get there, to be younger than LeBron by 5 days when he did it?
I mean, no, it don't matter to me, to be honest. I just wanted to win tonight. You know, I thought we put ourselves in a good position to get it, but didn't happen.
Now, of course, it's not a bad thing to get triple-double just since it was a loss.
I'd rather have a win.
Yeah.
Is it one of their first home game for a blitz here in Milwaukee? Welcome back to the league. He shouldn't be on the bench. Do you know with a lot of emotional opponents when you're out there in the cold air matchups?
Both of them are very good players. You know, they help their team win. And they give, you know, Milwaukee a different look. You know, each guy brings their own thing to the table. And I like the combo for them.
As you go through this early season, anything in particular you're doing in between games to try to run from one and build on the next?
Watch tape, stay in the gym.
Does it help your confidence to get these first two games in?
My confidence is going to stay the same all year. I mean, I've been shooting all my life. I'm not going to stop now.
There he is, Lonzo Ball after the game. Not too excited about the triple-double. Not too excited that he beat LeBron. More disappointed that he lost. And to be honest with you, if I'm a Laker fan, that's what I like to hear. That's it. That's what I like to hear. If I'm a Laker fan, I want to hear winning is more important than individual stats. And that's how Lonzo Ball's going about things. And that's the right way to go about things. Bucks get the win tonight over the Los Angeles Lakers. 98-90 coming up next. We'll hear from Gary Wolfel of the Racing Journal Times straight ahead here on The Fan.
Now, a Bucks post-game update from fan insider Gary Wolfel. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save post-game show.
Bucks get the win tonight against the Los Angeles Lakers, 98-90. Giannis with just another typical Giannis night. 33 points, 15 boards, 3 assists, a steal, a block shot, 3 turnovers, 12 of 19. From the field. Lonzo Ball will get a lot of love the next couple of days for being the youngest player to reach a triple-double in NBA history. 19 points, 13 assists, 12 boards, 3 assists, 4 blocks, 4 turnovers, hit 3 three-pointers, and he was garbage hitting threes all year prior to tonight. And 39 minutes of play, 7-12 from the field. Joining us now in the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, he is the aforementioned Gary Wolfel. Good evening, Mr. Wolfel.
Good evening, Mr. Pfeiffer.
Did you have a chance to take in the game at the Bradley Center tonight?
No, I was actually listening to our good friend Ted Davis tonight. And, I very rarely get that opportunity, and man, he's fun to listen to.
I love Ted. Listen up. Lonzo Ball, youngest to a triple-double. After the game, we just played his comments from the Bradley Center. Cares more about winning, could care less about this youngest the triple-double stuff. I think that's a good sign if you're a Lakers fan, knowing that he is going to be your leader going forward, and that's all he cares about.
Yeah, I'm a huge Lonzo Ball fan. You know, I know he's taken a lot of heat and because of his father's, you know, influence on him. But I talked to him at the NBA Summer League a couple times. I've talked to numerous people that know him. And everybody said he's a really good kid, you know. And I don't know if you saw his comment the other day, Steve, by Scott Brooks, the Washington Wizards coach, about Lonzo Ball. Did you see that?
I don't think so. What?
Yeah, he was talking about Lonzo Ball and LeVar Ball, and he goes, you know what? I wish I had a father that cared about me as much as Lonzo Ball's father cares about him. And I thought it was true. You know, we might not agree with what LeVar Ball does, but we know one thing. He cares about his son.
No, he cares about his sons, plural, because now he's got another one over in China for a couple of weeks.
I think you might want to care about that one a little more right now.
Yeah, right now. Yeah, that's how it should go. You know, we were talking about this earlier. Giannis, most improved player last year. You look at his numbers this year compared to last year, he's going to have a chance to win most improved player again this year if this keeps up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, he's putting up unbelievable numbers, isn't he? And the thing that has impressed me is his consistency. I mean, you know, a lot of times, I mean, even as great as Michael Jordan was, he would have bad games every once in a while, you know, where he'd go like 5 for 18 or whatever.
Right.
Giannis hasn't done that. I mean, he has been incredibly consistent. And, you know, if he keeps this up, you know, he might be one of those rare guys that even if their team doesn't get to the finals, could win the MVP because what he's doing is absolutely amazing.
No question about it. And the other thing that goes along with it is, and we talk about Aaron Rodgers, you know, being that guy to cover up the warts that may be there on the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
when he's not playing, you realize what they are. But it's amazing to think what this Bucks team's record would be if he wasn't averaging 31 points a night right now, because they're 6-6 as is. You take away from 31 and say he's averaging, you know, 21 or 22, there's no way they have 6 wins probably.
Not at all. They would be in the Marvin Bagley sweepstakes.
Yeah, and he's going to be the number one pick in the NBA draft for those that don't know.
He's pretty darn good.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that's really what it would be. And going forward, obviously Bledsoe didn't have a great night tonight. I think part of that was just trying to get his legs. Second game of a back-to-back, hadn't played basketball since the Suns or whatever else. So not too worried about Bledsoe. But
Steve, I'm going to disagree with you there. I respect your opinion, but you know, I heard some other person say tonight, you know, that, you know, the reason he's not.
I don't expect him to necessarily shoot the three ball well all year. I don't necessarily have that. I'm talking about the 5 turnovers. That's not very Bledsoe-like necessarily.
No, but you know what? I did some homework tonight, and I looked back at the games that he played in Phoenix.
Okay.
And you know what? He was a turnover machine there this season for whatever reason.
Oh, so this year, not, right.
Yeah, this season. And that overall, his career, I mean, he's solid. He's nothing special. He's got solid assist-to-turnover ratio. But for whatever reason this year, he's been turnover-prone.
Well, hopefully that doesn't continue. He looked good last night, 5 turnovers tonight. Hopefully we can alleviate that issue going forward. But where I was going with this was, you know, Middleton's average so far this year is up, and he's averaging 18 a game or whatever it may be, mm-hmm. right in that area, which is good. But, boy, oh, boy, it doesn't feel like he's averaging 18 a game to me watching every game.
Do you remember, I mean, it seems like eons ago, but just 2 years ago, Chris Middleton was the man.
Sure was. I mean, well, he was the man in the second half of last year when he came back from the injury.
I mean, if you talk to Giannis, if you talk to Jabari, if you talk to anybody on that team, they said the best player on their team is Chris Middleton, and how things have changed. You know, I mean, he's not the best guy on the team. He's not even close to being the best guy on the team, and it no fault of his. I mean, he's playing with, you know, arguably the best player in the game right now. But, you know, for whatever reason, he doesn't have that same – I don't know if it's confidence – or what it is, but he's just obviously not the same player he was, you know, a year and a half ago.
I really believe he will be fine. I really do. I think, you know, he gets into these one or two funks every year where he goes cold, and then he'll get red hot and he'll carry you for 3 or 4 weeks. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll get himself out of whatever the heck is going on here going forward, but they really need other players to step up, and Malcolm Brogdon, again tonight, stepped up for him with 16 points off the bench, 3 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals, and playing with a sense of purpose.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's said this before. I mean, he's the consummate pro. I mean, how many rookie of the year guys would be content being pulled out of the starting lineup?
Right.
I can guarantee you when Greg Monroe was brought to Milwaukee and he was demoted, he was not a happy camper. And he wasn't even Rookie of the Year, right?
That's correct.
So, I mean, when you're Rookie of the Year and everybody's throwing all these accolades at you and saying you're the guy, you're the future, and all of a sudden you don't become the future, you know, that's tough to take. But he has handled it remarkably well.
Gary, thanks so much for coming on. Enjoy the rest of your evening. We'll talk to you again Monday night after Bucks Memphis.
Sounds good. Thanks, Steve.
There he is, Gary Wolfel of the Racine Journal-Times and WolfelsPressBox.com and the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Great Midwest Bank has been committed to personalized common-sense lending since 1935. When you're in the market to buy, build, renovate, or refinance, visit GreatMidwestBank.com to discover the benefits of simply local banking.
That'll do it for the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show tonight. We'll get another sports flash with Jeff Orlovsky here. Bucks over the Lakers, 98-90. Don't forget, Fantasy Football Weekly, presented to you by Dave and Buster's, Tim Allen, Rami Makhlouf, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And then, of course, Gary and Bill after the Packer-Bears game tomorrow, as well as the Admirals game tomorrow afternoon, too. So, full slate of things going on tomorrow here on AM 1250 and 105.7 FM. The Fan, enjoy the rest of your night. I'll talk to you next on Monday on the Green and Gold Monday at 2 o'clock on the Wendy's Big Show. Toodles.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.